Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
So we have been looking at some very specific things in God's Word concerning the will of God, and some of the things that God tells us in His Word are revealed to us. In other words, He tells us up front and without any hesitation at all, this is God's will for your life. And those are what we would call as being the revealed word, will of God. And so God reveals certain things to us and just reveals them and tells us them. And that's what we've been looking at over the past month or so. And these are things that God says, this is what my will is for your life. Now, there is some things that are the hidden will of God. And in fact, I think I got about three more messages that I want to go through as far as talking about what the will of God is. But then I'm going to give a message about how to determine what that secret hidden will of God is for your life. These are things like, you know, where I should live or where I should work or things of that type of nature. So there are these things that God tells us, hey, this is what my will is. But then there's the secret hidden will of God. And after we go through that one, then what I would like to do is us elders, we are going to have kind of like a Q&A where it'll be kind of open forum, so you can ask any question concerning about God's will. So we'll spend that time, we'll talk and do those things for all of that. Let me get my stuff here all set up. Sorry about this. So we're here in Colossians chapter 1. And here in Colossians 1, God tells us, hey, this is my will for your life. And he's basically, this is a prayer that he's beginning with talking to the believers there that are Colossae. And his prayer is that they would be filled, if you notice in verse number 9, to be filled with the knowledge of his will. So God wants us to know what his will is for our life. And he wants us to be filled with that knowledge. And then if you look, if you notice what he says here, what is the will of God? Well, look what he says in verse number 10, right? What does he tell us? He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So that is God's will for our life. He wants us to live a life that is fully pleasing to him. That's what God's will is for our life. And so this is what I want you to take away with you today. God's will is that I live a life that is pleasing to God. God's will for my life is that I live a life that is pleasing to God. So in order to understand what Paul is saying here, we're going to have to ask two questions, okay? The first question we have to ask is, how can I be filled with the knowledge of his will? And we find that in verses 9 and 10. Then the second question we have to ask is, what does a life that is pleasing to God actually look like? Because if we really want to know, this is God's will for my life, then if he wants me to live a life that is pleasing to him, what does that actually look like? How is that fleshed out in my life? How will I know if I'm actually living a life that is pleasing to him? I think we can all probably guess sometimes. We sometimes put those things in our minds of, well, this is what is pleasing to God. That I'm nice to people, that I do this or that I do that, whatever it may be, right? We have these things in our mind that we think this is what God would want. Now, I'm not saying that it's not good to be nice. It's not good to have these certain things in our lives. But God tells us specifically, this is what is pleasing in my sight. This is how I want you to live. So let's take note here of a few things, okay? Take note here of what Paul prays, verse number 9, okay? We're asking the question, this first question, right? He tells us, verse 9, you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. You see that phrase there, be filled? It is God's desire that we be filled with this knowledge of his will. He wants us to have the knowledge of his will. And so we're supposed to have this knowledge of how we are supposed to live. We're supposed to have this knowledge of how we are supposed to behave, how we are supposed to walk, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And he wants us to have this knowledge. And he says that we would be filled with this. And so in other words, this knowledge should affect everything in our life. It governs how we live. It governs our thoughts. It governs our hearts. It governs how we conduct ourselves. So what God says in his word, what he reveals in his word, affects every part of our life. It is the very fabric of our life. And he wants us to be filled with that knowledge. So the question is, how do we get to that point? Well, that brings us to that first question. How can I be filled with the knowledge of his will? Or in other words, how can I know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do or is pleasing to him? Well, Paul gives us two phrases that's going to help us grasp that question and to understand what it means to be filled with that true knowledge of God's will. Look what he says in Colossians 1:9. He gives us these two phrases. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So if I'm going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, I'm going to have spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the knowledge of how God wants us to live requires spiritual wisdom. Now notice, that wisdom is not worldly wisdom. It's spiritual wisdom. It's wisdom that only comes from God. So if you want to be filled with the knowledge of how God desires for you to live, you're going to need spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual wisdom and understanding come from God's Spirit. Wisdom, in fact, is actually emphasized in the book of Proverbs. We just started going through the book of Proverbs today in Sunday school. And so if you're not a part of that, I encourage you to do that. In fact, Proverbs 9:10 reminds us, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the question we have to ask is, well, what is wisdom? Well, the main idea behind the word wisdom is the word skill. Think of people who have skills and things that they do, you know, like computer hacking skills and nunchuck skills and, no, not that kind of skills, right? But there are people that are very skilled in what they do. And so we need to be skilled in what God tells us what we need to be doing. So the idea is that we take life situations, we take what happens in our life, and we follow the teachings of God's word, and we apply those things to life that helps us live out life. That is skill, that is wisdom of what God tells us to do. And so God gives us things that how to live so that our lives will not be ruined by sin, but rather be put on display. Ephesians 2:10 says that, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Secondly, the knowledge of how God wants us to live requires spiritual understanding. Wisdom and understanding are somewhat the same, but there's just a little bit difference. Wisdom refers to insight, perception, or the ability to discern between things. Understanding, however, enables us to put the pieces of wisdom together in specific situations. Let me give you a few examples from this out of the book of Proverbs. For example, turn with me over to Proverbs 25, verse 17. I want to show you just a few examples here. God tells us some things, what to do, but then that understanding allows us to put them into practice. Okay? So Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17. So here, the wisdom that God gives us, he says this, Proverbs 25, 17, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. So that's the wisdom. God gives me this wisdom and tells me, hey, don't be going over to your neighbor's house all the time and hanging out all the time. Why? Because he's going to have his fill of you and he's going to begin to hate you. So the understanding of that would be start looking at a situation, and if I'm hanging out over at my neighbor's house and he's just like, okay, all right. I should be wise enough and have understanding enough to say, hey, this guy doesn't want me over here all the time, right? Because I want to be a good neighbor. I don't want him to hate me. Let's look at another one. Let's flip over to Proverbs chapter 22, verses 26 through 27. Here's the wisdom that what God gives us. Proverbs 22, verse 26 and 27. He says, be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? So don't give security for debts. Don't be one who's going to pledge for another. That's wisdom. What is understanding in all of that? It's the fact of when somebody says, hey man, you know I'm good for it. Hey man, we go a long time. We go way, way back. Will you co-sign for me? Will you do this for me? Nope, not going to do it. Right? Because God's word tells me not to do it. Understanding would be putting that in the context of where I'm at and actually applying that. So this is how God requires us to live with spiritual understanding. So as we read God's word, we're given spiritual truths that help us how to live. This is the wisdom, and then the truths can and will shape us if we use them correctly and allow ourselves to be under the authority of God's word. This is the understanding. And so as we grow in the knowledge of how God wants us to live, the result of that will be living a life that is well-pleasing to him in every way. So now let's look at that second question. What does a life that is pleasing to God actually look like? Paul's going to give us four quick things here out of verses 10 through 12. So here they are. Number one, what does a life that is pleasing to God look like? First of all, bearing fruit in every good work. Notice what Paul says here, going back over to Colossians chapter 1. He says, verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. Fruit is what God accomplishes through us as we depend on him. Jesus taught this in John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So good works are the outworking of the life of Christ flowing through us as we rely on him. So what is God's will for my life? God's will for my life is that I live a life that is pleasing to him. What does that look like? That I'm bearing fruit in every good work that I do. So what does that look like? That means that I'm relying upon God. I'm allowing his word to take root in my life. I'm living those things out. And as I do that, fruit is evidenced in my life from all of that. There's a lot of detail and things like that when we talk about fruit. We're not going to really go into all of those things, but we are saved by grace through faith alone, but fruit is evidenced as part of our Christian life as we grow. And so I would really, you know, ask yourself, if there's no fruit in your life, you really need to do a heart inspection, right? Do I really know Christ as my Savior? Right? I think that's important, okay? So that's first one there of what a life looks like that is evidence that is pleasing to God. Let's look at the second one. What does a life that is pleasing to God look like? We are growing in the knowledge of God. Again, look at what Paul says, okay? He says to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, this phrase could either mean that we are growing to know God better, or it could mean that we are growing by knowing God better. Either way, there is the idea that we must know God Himself. And how do we get to know God? Through His Word. We spend time in the Word, and as we are taking in the Word and allowing the Word to shape us and change us, we come to know God better. And it's very pleasing to God when we do that. And so we please God when we desire to spend time with Him in His Word so that we can know Him better. Now, you can get real crazy with this kind of stuff, and you know, you can start doing all the stuff of, you know, checking the boxes, and I got to make sure I'm spending this much time and do it. That can become very legalistic. I don't think you should really do that. I think the idea is the heart desire. Is it my desire to spend time with God, to know Him better? Is that the heart's desire? Because anybody can spend 30 minutes reading the Word or 10 minutes reading the Word, and you can walk away from that and really not know God, right? The idea is it my heart's desire to know God? And I think that's what's important. So a life that is pleasing to God is growing in the knowledge of God. Now notice the connection here is what he does, right? The knowledge of God, verse number 10, is inseparably connected with the knowledge of His will. What? So what does that mean? That means the more that I know God, the greater I come to know Him, the more that I'm going to know His will is for my life. So if I cut this out and I'm not knowing Him, then God's will is going to be a mystery to me because I'm not knowing who He is. I'm not spending time with Him. And so it's something that's very pleasing to God when we desire to know Him. In John 14, 21, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." And so if you want to get to know Jesus better, then we have to obey him. And he only reveals himself to those who obey him. Let's look at the third one. What does a life that is pleasing to God look like? Well, Paul tells us here, look what he says, verse number 11, that you may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Now, I love this because when you break down what Paul is saying here, the word strengthened here is used in the present tense. This tells us that we are the feeble creation that we are. This tells us that we are in need in continual strength from God always, because we can do nothing, right? Bible tells us that we are made a little bit lower than the angels. So we need His constant strength. We need His continual infusion of His power. Look what he says here, this all power, right? It points to the fact that it is an unlimited supply according to what? To His glorious might. Really, what he's saying literally is according to the might of His glory. God's glory is the outward manifestation of his splendor, of who he is. And so what we do is we rely upon him for strength. We rely upon him to infuse us with that power to actually live. And so it's pleasing to God when we cast ourselves on him and say, I can't do it. I need you. In our men's group a couple weeks ago, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were just sharing and talking about some things, and one of the men was sharing about some things that he had personally went through in life, and he gotten to a point in his life where he just said, I just turned to God and said, God, I need you. And he said it was like it changed, because that was a moment when he decided and said, I'm going to trust God now, right? And there was a change in all of that. Now, here's a good question. What is this power for? Prayers? Healings? Deliverance from difficult situations? Ability to do great things? Nope. What does Paul say here? Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. For what? For all endurance and patience. You don't need steadfastness and patience if God is miraculously delivering you in every situation. You don't need steadfastness and patience if God is delivering you from people that are causing you great difficulty and hardship in life. Right? We need steadfastness and patience when we aren't delivered, when we are going through the fire, right? And it is a pleasing thing. This is God's will for our life when we endure with patience and joy through the difficulty, relying upon his strength with all glorious power from him. And that is something that is pleasing to God. Now notice how Paul says we are to have this patient endurance with joy. Paul is saying that when we bear up in difficult circumstances or with difficult people in life, and we do it with joy, we are doing it because of his great salvation, because of what he's done. We are experiencing God's mighty power in our lives to go through that. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Even because of the extraordinary character of the revelations, therefore, so that I would not become arrogant, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to trouble me, so that I would not become arrogant. I asked the Lord 3 times about this, that it would depart from me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me, right? This thorn in my flesh. Ah, yay, yay, yay. Man. What am I going to do? I can't go on like this. What does he say? He said to me, my grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So then I will boast most gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with insults, with troubles, with persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong, is what he says. And so we please the Lord when we bear fruit, when we grow to know God better, and when we experience his power, so that we are steadfast and patient in trials. Finally, last thing that Paul tells us here, what is fully pleasing to the Lord, a life that is pleasing to God, it's giving thanks for your salvation. Look what he says in verse 12. He tells us, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is really a continuation of that that endurance and patience with joy, right? The idea is the fact that even though we're going through those difficulties and those hardships and trials and difficult people, whatever, right? We take our eyes off of those things. We're putting them on Christ. We're focusing on things that are above, not things that are here on the earth. and we're thinking about our salvation that we have in Christ and what Christ has done for us, and we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, and he says that we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. The point is that when we go through trials, we please God if we don't complain, but rather are filled with joyous thanksgiving to him. How do you develop this joyous, thankful attitude in the midst of difficult problems or difficult people? Well, Paul's answer here is to set our mind on the fact that the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. You have an inheritance with the saints of light. You know, it's always a joyful thing to encounter other believers that you've never met, right? Like you begin talking to somebody, then you find out that they're a Christian, and there becomes like this bond, right? Like, hey, wow, you know Christ, I know Christ, right? We're sharing in the inheritance together, right? And I think it's important for us always to remember those things and to keep our minds on Jesus and who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. And so Paul is saying that the Father has given us an inheritance that we share with the saints in the light. We all have Christ in us and enjoy his full salvation. And when we go through trials, we are to be thankful. We are to be joyful. Now, it's not like this thing, like it's, I think I told you about this, you know, your house burns down or whatever, right? It's not like you're out there going, yes, yes, wow, I'm so happy, Jesus, my house burned down. No, right? It's the fact that you can go through that difficulty even though it's hard, right? Because your joy is in Christ. It's not in the temporary things, right? It's in the eternal things. And so we need to be thankful to God for our salvation and what we have in Christ, because that it really is pleasing to God, okay? So those are the four things. To live a life that is pleasing to God, that is God's will, that we live out those things in our life. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.